This Week in Agriculture, a production of the Red River Farm Network. With a look at markets, I'm Randy Conan. Grain markets put in a choppy sideways week. Country futures market analyst Daryl Holliday said the soybean market facing some big headwinds from South American production as well as Chinese demand.
Those are the big picture items, but the other one is, and I think this is the one that has really kind of put the soybean complex in a tailspin and even pulled some with it, is the news yesterday or 2 days ago that China had sold 30,000 to 40,000 tons of soybean oil on the export market and was actually yesterday offering more out. In my career, I don't ever remember that happening. I've known them to export soybean meal, but not soybean oil.
And Holliday says that sale of soybean oil is concerning on many levels.
And that is a very bad sign of what their margins are like, what their economy's like, and how they're kind of swamped with product. And so that was very negative, and it's got this in a tail. Soybean oil has gone from 48 cents to 42 cents pounds since that time, that news. And that is just really a pressuring influence. And I think there's still the underlying concerns about the risk of the Russian-Ukraine situation, and that catches a buy in the wheat market every while. It's now, I think, the seasonal move is over, and we're headed back down and testing those lows, basically, I think, is where we're headed.
U.S. Commodities President Don Rose also thinks December option expiration was a big market driver as well.
Particularly on the corn, but also on the wheat, trying to hit a strike price on December corn, you know, 430 to 425 really kind of held us in there. And I think the same thing on the December wheat, you know, trying to figure out if we were going to hit 540 or 550, you know, and we end up kind of in between on that also. So, you know, and it was a week also where no problems in South America yet. So you got that future supply coming at us, one big crop in the oven, and then fear of China slowing down their purchases, you know, after the first of the year.
Midwest Market Solutions President Brian Hoops thinks the trade also is waiting to see if export sales turn into demand.
We didn't really get any surprises out of those export numbers. They were very good, don't get me wrong. And corn, soybean, wheat sales all above last year's numbers. So decent numbers, nothing wrong with them, but it just may be a case where are we going to take these deliveries of these soybeans? It's great to make these sales, but the inspections matter more. We want to make sure that these soybeans that we're selling to China are hitting ships and being sent out on ports. Same with the private export sales. Nothing wrong to have these sales this morning, and it's great to look at. But again, will we actually see these soybean sales turn into shipments?
And EverAg market analyst Jenny Wackershauser sees more of a sideways, choppy trade through winter.
Fundamentally in the U.S., we were talking here before I came on, we're getting nice rain. So a lot of our winter wheat planted acres here in the U.S. have now found some nice moisture as we head into that growing season ahead of dormancy. So really fundamentally, I think the U.S. crop is probably sitting well. And it's going to be our traditional winter kind of what's the rest of the world market looking like as we head in.
Corn Belt marketing analyst Sam Hudson said the feeder cattle market is what's leading the livestock trade.
Man, the feeders have just been on fire. You know, when you look at the spread between feeders and live cattle, it just seems like we either got to send this front-end live cattle a little bit higher yet or you know, cool off the feeder market. But we have done a little bit of work in that live cattle market in the back months. And so that's the only concern on a rally like this is when you see those bear spreads working, how much further can we go with what we know today, you know, with the change of administration and, you know, can demand hang in there? So I think, you know, bears watching here with the cattle on feed report taking place. Cash prices at, you know, for feeders have been very good, but they are starting to tail off a little bit.
And that's a look at markets this week in agriculture. I'm Randy Conan.
I am a 15-year-old who is the sixth generation on our family farm. My dream has always been to carry on the legacy of the farm, but my parents told me last week that they are going to have to lease out the land and sell the equipment. I felt lost and disappointed, like all my dreams were over. But after talking with them and my friends, I realized that there is still a lot to look forward to. We will stay living on the farm, and I can still pursue a career in agriculture. Those thoughts are what I'm focusing on instead of the loss.
You add the value to North Dakota agriculture. This effort is associated with North Dakota State Suicide Prevention Program.
Check out the job opportunities in agriculture tab on the Red River Farm Network website. The Pennington County Farm Service Agency is hiring a full-time temporary program analyst in Thief River Falls. And the Red River Farm Network, we're looking for a farm broadcaster, ag journalist. Find all the details on the job opportunities in agriculture tab on the Red River Farm Network website, rrfn.com. And if your business has a job opportunity, contact the Red River Farm Network to find your next employee.
With a look at news this week in agriculture, I'm Melissa Hammer for the Red River Farm Network. Senate Agriculture Committee Chair Debbie Stabenow released her 1,397-page farm bill text. With Stabenow retiring at the end of the year, it appears the Michigan senator wants to pass the legislation under her watch. Highlights include a permanent disaster program, historic investments in climate-smart conservation practices, and $8.5 billion to improve consumer access to nutrition assistance. The National Pork Producers Council is disappointed in Stabenow's farm bill text. The proposal does not address California's Prop 12, which mandates specific housing standards on pork production. Without that language, NPPC President Lori Stevemer said the Stabenow proposal is not a viable option. In a closed-door meeting, House Republicans have agreed to pursue a one-year farm bill extension. At the same meeting, House Ag Committee Chairman Glenn G.T. Thompson rejected Senate Agriculture Committee Chair Debbie Stabenow's farm bill text. Senate Ag Committee Ranking Member John Bozeman made a similar comment, saying Congress is running out of time to approve a farm bill. The Biden administration is seeking $100 billion in disaster relief. Hurricanes Helene and Milton dominated the discussion in a three-hour Senate Appropriations Committee hearing. However, North Dakota Senator John Hoeven said the drought is also having its impact.
48 states have reported drought this year. Last I checked, there's only 50. 48 states reported drought. So you can see the kind of stress that our farm, now everybody knows about the hurricanes and the disasters and all that. You see it on television and everything else, but that's the rest of the story that has really put our farmers and ranchers up against it.
The West Central Ag Services Board of Directors is proceeding with its merger with CHS. The decision was delayed after the Arthur Companies publicly highlighted its bid for the West Central Ag Services. Board Chair Dwayne Brendemuhl.
We met as a board last week. We had both CHS and Arthur Companies in to present their proposals. We postponed the original vote. You know that. That was due to Arthur changing their bid, so we wanted to give a fair proposal, do what's right for the member patrons, and get all the information we could. And after getting that and analyzing it, we had a third party help assist on the analyzing, and we just decided that CHS had a superior offer, and we decided that that's the offer that we're going to take before the patrons.
West Central Ag Services members will vote on November 26th. A two-thirds majority of those voting is needed to move forward with the merger. Summit Carbon Solutions has resubmitted its pipeline permit application to the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission. The PUC rejected the initial application more than a year ago. North Dakota and Iowa have already approved their permits, and a decision is pending in Minnesota. The Summit pipeline would capture carbon dioxide from Midwest ethanol plants and deliver it to western North Dakota for sequestration. The American Farm Bureau Federation, National Cattlemen's Beef Association, and the National Pork Producers Council have filed a friend of the court brief in legal action against the EPA. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce filed the original lawsuit claiming the agency's rule on PFAS, or forever chemicals, should be vacated. The farm groups contend agriculture was not responsible for these chemicals and should not be liable for the cleanup costs. That's your look at news this week in agriculture on the Red River Farm Network.
From the field to well beyond the farm gate, the Minnesota Corn Checkoff is building a brighter future for corn farmers across the state. Each year, the checkoff funds innovative research and development programs that increase input use efficiency, build and maintain export markets, and create new uses for corn, ethanol, and DDGs. It also supports innovative programming in local communities, scholarships for future ag leaders, and engagement with the non-farming public. Learn more about the Minnesota Corn Checkoff at mncorn.org.
World Weather Incorporated senior meteorologist Drew Lerner is your trusted source for agricultural weather. From the Northern Plains,
we do expect some showers to develop and a couple of thunderstorms. The majority of the meaningful rain, though, is going to be in southern Canada.
To South America,
Buenos Aires, La Pampa, and Cordoba, but it doesn't occur until we get into next week, leaving plenty of time for changes in the forecast.
Drew Lerner, only on the Red River Farm Network. We're reporting agriculture's business.
With a look at weather this week in agriculture, I'm Tyler Donaldson. National Sunflower Association Executive Director John Sambachin says sunflower harvest moved along really well.
The weather we've had has been great. A little bit of rain delays here and there, but overall, I'd say, you know, last week I think USDA had us at around 81% complete, but after this week, we should be in that low 90s and, you know, getting close to wrapping things up here. And so far, the quality has been excellent. You know, good test weight, oil content not quite as high as we've had the last couple years, but still very respectable. Yields, you know, in areas where they didn't have any kind of weather issues, like either drowned out or some wind damage, you know, it's been right around in that ton to 2,500 pound range, which is excellent for sunflower. And, you know, other areas are, you know, where we did experience some weather difficulties, probably a little bit lower at 1,200 to 1,500 pounds.
According to USDA crop progress reports, 97% of South Dakota's corn is harvested ahead of last year's 91% and the 86% five-year average. Sunflowers are 89% harvested ahead of the 78% last year and the average. South Dakota's winter wheat is 31% poor to very poor and 26% good to excellent. 83% of that winter wheat has emerged behind 95% last year and the 94% average. USDA's crop progress report for North Dakota shows corn harvest at 95% complete, ahead of 84% last year and the 70% average. Sunflower harvest is at 86% complete, ahead of 68% last year and the 75% average. In Minnesota, topsoil moisture supplies are rated 43% short to very short and 47% adequate to surplus. Sunflower harvest reached 96% complete ahead of last year's 93% and the 92% average. A large storm system passed across the Dakotas this week, transitioning from rain to snow. Anywhere from 2 to 4 inches of snow were dropped in much of North Dakota. Rain totals throughout the state also reaching anywhere from 0.5 inch to 1.5 inches. In the Midwest, we'll see regular rounds of rain and snow over the next 2 weeks, with the most significant event advertised for next Wednesday through Friday. World Weather Incorporated says the heaviest rains will fall in the eastern Corn Belt along and south of the Ohio River. Snow cover is expected to increase in the northern plains over the next 2 weeks, with temperatures trending colder during the second week of the two-week outlook. Highs will range in the 20 to low 40s this week and then drop to the teens to low 30s next week. Morning lows are expected to range from the negative single digits to lower positive teens Monday through Wednesday. U.S. Wheat Associates market analyst Tyler Ledford says wheat acres are in line with last year's, which is good for the industry.
Just 2 weeks ago, USDA released their baseline estimate for the total U.S. wheat acres, and that's at about 46 million acres, which is pretty much even from where we were last year. And that's a really, really early estimate, but it is a good jumping off point from, you know, in which we can, as more information becomes available. But from what I've heard in various states, some states are thinking their acres will be up and others think acres will be down. So with all of that, it's, you know, that estimate feels like it could be accurate.
Nutrient Ag Solutions Senior Science Fellow Eric Snodgrass says to expect colder winter this year than previous years.
When we set up late November and the front half of December with cold air in the Canadian Prairie, Western Canada, that likes to come straight down into the upper Midwest and into the northern plains, we tend to see that kind of thing kind of going on repeat throughout winter. So I'm going to tell you, we had no winter last winter, right? Well, this year, I think we've got a legit chance at having more repeated intrusions of colder air, and that means more snow, and that means, you know, overall, the northern plains has a pretty darn good outlook for a good, harsh winter. Now you're going, wait a minute, why is that a good outlook? You know, the harder our winters are, with the more snowpack that we have to melt off come, you know, March and April, the better things are.
Are insects in your corn keeping you from achieving top yields? Hi, I'm Darren Hefty with Hefty Seed Company. Heavy infestations of insects are causing massive yield losses in corn across the country. Step up your protection with a SmartStax Pro or VT4 Pro hybrid from Hefty brand corn. SmartStax Pro and VT4 Pro are the most powerful tools available for fighting corn insects in the industry today. But at Hefty Seed Company, we have the products and hybrids you need to prevent a disaster next season. Talk to your Hefty agronomist today to make your complete corn yield protection plan.
Despite overwhelming support from Democrats and Republicans, time is running out for Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act, which will keep AM radio in cars. Text AM to 52886 and ask Congress to bring this bill to a vote now. AM radio is too important to let this moment pass us by.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.